I'm live. I'm going live. Live. Going live. Live. Going live. Turn this up. Where the fuck is everybody at, man? Hola, Vic.
The Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. When you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters, the very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it.
These fake proclaims, they are so fake. 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 These Negroes are fake as hell. Fake as hell. Oh, fake. Oh, fake.
These fake pro-black niggas. What's up, man? Y'all know I never miss a chance to get in these Negroes' ass, man. You know what I'm saying? For their goddamn hypocrisy. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know. Y'all already know what it is over here, man. Y'all already know. You know what I'm saying? We traverse the heterodoxies very well over here. Pro-black politics have been an abject failure in the black community, period. Y'all like and share the video for me. We're gonna get started in a minute. Okay. What's up, intellectual ADOS? Let me see.
So fake, fake, fake. These Negroes are fake as hell, fake as hell. Oh, fake. Oh, fake.
Oh man. What's up, man? What's up, man? Oh boy. What's up? What's going on? What today is? Thursday morning? It's Thursday morning, man. You know, I've been watching the outrage, you know, coming from Negroes dealing with this entire, you know, Amber Geiger situation. Of course, she was the white officer, white female officer who went into Botham Jean's home and shot him in the head, killed him. So she number one, she did breaking and entering And then she murdered this man in cold blood. And she was subsequently found guilty. She was subsequently found guilty by a jury of her peers. And she was sentenced to 10 years, which for a lot of Negroes isn't harsh enough of a sentence for their taste. And I tend to agree. I think she should have had the book thrown at her. You know, I believe she should have had the book thrown at her. And in the wake of this, the black female judge and the black female bailiff were very compassionate and empathetic and sympathetic towards this cold-blooded killer who killed Botham Jean in his own home for no reason and in cold blood. They were seen giving her a hug, you know, playing in her hair. Apparently the family is on some forgiveness tip. And now you have all these pro-black aficionados from Tariq Nasheed, amongst others, who are outraged and who are pointing at this as white supremacy. These things about white supremacy, which, don't get me wrong, I mean, there's a lot of tread on the tire when it comes to that. My only point of contention is that Negroes are hypocrites. Here it is. You have Negroes who are outraged at this 10-year sentence for Miss Amber Geiger, who killed Botham Jean. What's up, blessed one? Who killed Botham Jean. And yet these same Negroes have friends and relatives who have killed other black men in cold blood, just as senseless, and haven't served a day in jail because niggas ain't going to tell. You have black mothers who have sons who are committing some of the worst crimes in the community, and they console their sons. They hug these little ruffians. See what I'm saying? This thing of a mother's love, loving this savage that she done raised, who's running around here killing other black men that look like him. So these Negroes are hypocrites. You're not outraged at that, though. Tell me, what's the difference? These individuals who commit these types of crimes in the community, they're just like Amber Geiger. So what's the difference? See, pro-black politics has been an abject failure in the black community. What's up, LAR? Pro-black politics has been an abject failure in the black community. See, we're perfectly fine with the lives of black men being extinguished so long as it's done by another black person. That's how pro-black we are. That's how pro-black we are. And this is something I've stated consistently, and I have to agree with David Carroll. All you have to do to be pro-black is excuse black degeneracy. That's it. That is it, man. That's all you have to do. See, they're not going to turn these individuals in because these individuals are their relatives. But you so outraged with Amber Geiger. You're so outraged. Now it's a miscarriage of justice. Now it's a problem. So we can kill each other just so long as other groups don't do it. How many times have we seen stories and heard stories of killings of black persons by other black persons that was just as senseless as this? And just as unnecessary as this? And preventable as this? See, and then these individuals have the audacity and the nerve to posture themselves as the thought leaders of black society. See, totally deluded. No type of clarity when it comes to issues like this. Like, could you imagine the type of society these Negroes would run? There would be no rule of law. Because the moment a black person does something to another black person, in this black nation, the moment a black person does something, you're just going to blame it on white supremacy. It's the white man's fault. See? But you expect me to be outraged. Why? Be outraged for what? Why? We've sent a consistent message to each other and to the outside world that the life of black men has very little value. So what's the problem? You have sisters walking around society talking about they don't need black men. So why are we so outraged now? When we've made it abundantly clear, we don't care about black men, black boys. Even when we can look at every metric, every empirical study that shows the harmful effects of fatherlessness, of single female headed households, especially when it comes to the boys. Yet this is the family structure that we choose to continue to proliferate. But you're outraged by this? Help this make sense. We know that the life outcomes of black boys who grow up in homes without fathers and single female-headed households, their outcome is going to be more in line with Botham Jean's than a Barack Obama's, than a Robert Smith's. See? So this is fake outrage. And Amiri and the great liberators don't do fake outrage. See, even this fake outrage thing is a form of internalized whiteness. Because what it is, we've taken these cues from the dominant society, from American culture, where we only see the truths about ourselves that we want to see. This idea of American exceptionalism. And so we've internalized it and inverted it and want to act like there's this Negro exceptionalism. Where there are very real issues that are pertinent and harmful to the everyday lives and life outcomes of black people, black men in particular, are ignored. So we choose to ignore that. And then what we want to do, we want to come back and posture these individuals as somehow the warriors of the race, the thought leaders of the race. Fuck out of here. Miss me with that. And so you understand why these Negroes can't get anything done and won't get anything done. Because the moral ethical compass of the American Negro is broken. Broken in the age of social media, we look to these fake pro-blacks as the barometers for what we should be outraged about. This is what we do. This is what we do. These same Negroes, many of these same niggas, have brothers, cousins, sisters, and relatives who've extinguished another black life over something as silly and nonsensical as this Amber Geiger case. But I'm supposed to be outraged with Amber Geiger, but not be outraged at your black ass. And this is, it's supposed to make sense. And if you dare say anything, if you dare call it out, you're a coon. You're a cooning. Because we're only supposed to be outraged at the mistreatment of black life when it's done at the hands of a white person. We're supposed to accept our communities being overrun with the criminal element, with those who place no value on life, on black life, especially black male life. I mean, I'll admit, I agree. I mean, everything, you know, with the situation is ridiculous, is messed up. It's a messed up situation. But my thing is, what's the difference? What is the difference? These same niggas will make an impassioned plea for the types of individuals who doing the exact same thing Amber Geiger did. Exactly, LAR movement. See, so we don't really care about these things the way we want to try and portray. Because our political posture, our social posture, our ethical posture is reactionary. It's not proactive. See, it's not proactive. See, I can come on here and make the same statements everybody else making. I mean, it's obvious. But that's not the way I look at things. See, I look at things through the lens of black inferiorization. Because I understand that black inferiorization is the existential threat to black progress. More so than white supremacy. The dysgenic nature of black society at this moment. The fact that there are two black Americas. The fact that there is a class divide. And these different things. So, I don't take my cues from these fake pro-blacks, man, when it comes to being outraged. Because these same niggas, these same Negroes, are not outraged when it's June, Tay Dog, and Ray Ray. We're supposed to understand why they got to be fucked up and be doing shit they ain't got no business to other black people. We're supposed to understand why. And give them a pass. We're supposed to understand why and give them a pass. And not say anything. And let our communities be overrun with this type of element. This is really what they expect. Then they'll turn right around and glorify this type of element operating. It's 2019. You still got you got niggas damn near ready for Social Security talking about they a street dude. So when we want to know who's giving these other parts of society the cues that it's okay to extinguish a black male life and nothing will be required of it, it's you. They learned it by watching you. And everything about our cultural practices and cultural references reflect that. It reflects it. So we're not as outraged at the death of a black man as we think we are or as we want to portray. You're not going to turn in that relative who may have carried out something like this and never got caught, never served a day in jail. But all of a sudden, you're outraged at this 10-year sentence. Help me to understand that. Explain that. Explain that. And then these people want to be the thought leaders. Because I was listening to Tariq earlier, and I agree with much of what he's saying, but I just don't take him serious like that. Because this romanticizing of intra-group violence, I can't wrap my mind around it. The psychodynamics of self-annihilation in the service of white domination, as the great Amos Wilson put it. But I'm supposed to ignore that. And I'm supposed to give you a pass. No, I'm going to hold you to a higher standard. I'm going to hold you to a higher standard, not a lesser standard. The fact of the matter is that for black men between the ages of 15 and 35, homicide by other black men is the greatest cause of death. The greatest cause of death. And then we wonder where the black men are. We wonder where they are. See, a few months ago, there was this raging debate on YouTube about Pookie and Ray Ray in the Educated Lane. And what you had was many of these quote unquote pro-blacks making excuses for the behaviors of Pookie and Ray Ray. And I'm only using that terminology because this is the terminology I found on YouTube. But we all know who and what I'm talking about. Especially coming from the Fellowsphere, who's spend hours at a time on YouTube every week talking about what black men aren't doing and why black men don't deserve respect, using that same Pookie and Ray Ray as the template to typify black manhood, black masculinity, black male action. And using that as the predicate for how they interact with all black men. Then turn right around. In the course of the debate, and make excuses for the men they complain about day in and day out. See, the fact of the matter is, and the truth is that many sisters have become accustomed to the weaponization of black men against black men. Essentially playing both ends against the middle. This is what they do. This is what they do. And see, when you have these discussions along these lines, it's touchy because the people you're talking about is these Negroes' family. It's these Negroes' family. So it's a touchy topic. It was the same thing with that Jasmine Barnes case. When everybody thought that the killer of Jasmine Barnes was some white dude in a red truck, it was all over but the shouting. It was all over. It's a war. We at war with white supremacy. White supremacy this, white extremist this. Soon as these niggas found out it was two black males It was two responses. One of two responses. Either A, they went quiet and silent on it, or B, it was a conspiracy. It was a conspiracy. Same thing with the Nipsey Hussle and Shitty Cuz situation. Now, see what happened was, see what they did was, see, they had him as an informant to take out Nipsey Hussle, because Nipsey Hussle was finna do a documentary on Dr. Sebi. Fuck out of here. What's more likely? That it was some gang hood shit that just popped off, because this is how senseless the violence is in our communities, or it was some grand scheme by the LAPD and the government and the CIA. What is more likely? Think about it logically. Just use logic. What's more likely? What's more probable? You know what I'm saying? Like, we haven't seen violence like this just pop out of nowhere in our communities. So when it happens to a unknown brother who isn't famous, doesn't have a platform, we just accept that. But because it's Nipsey Hussle, because it's a celebrity, it just gotta be a conspiracy. And these individuals posture themselves as thought leaders. And we accept it. We accept this folly, this logic, these logical fallacies, which exist to remove ourselves from any accountability of how we interact and engage with each other. The inferiorization of the black mind. The psychodynamics of self-annihilation in the service of white domination. See? But nobody can say nothing. You better be very, very quiet when it comes to this. You being a coon. But your brother who shot another brother over a goddamn basketball game, he ain't a coon. He a real nigga, see? He's a real nigga. This idea and this notion that comes from the fellowsphere a lot, that somehow because they're more degenerate, they're more hood, they're more black. I sat on a panel with these individuals literally saying this. That doing things a certain way means you're assimilating to whiteness. But doing things, this going a hood route and being a criminal and a fucking murderer and drug peddler and pimp is somehow rejecting whiteness. It's the rejection of whiteness. And then turn right around to use the fact that just as many white people as black people engage in these types of behaviors to then excuse any level of accountability. Well, wait a minute. If you engaging in those behaviors as a black person is rejecting of white ideals and white values, how are you then going to excuse it by pointing to white people who do it too? That's a logical fallacy. And then think I'm not intelligent enough to understand that what you're saying is a logical fallacy. Well, see, these brothers do what they do because of white supremacy, see? It's because of white supremacy they do that. It's because of white supremacy, June standing on the corner and selling drugs where little kids got to go to school. If white supremacy causing that, then, well, we ain't the only ones sell drugs and commit crime. Asians commit crime. White people commit crime. Italians commit crime. Pygmies commit crime. Unicorns commit crime. Smurfs commit crime. Everybody commit crime. Okay. So then how is these Negroes doing this because of white supremacy then? Explain that. Explain that. Help me to understand that logic. That is a logical fallacy. This is a form of escapism. It's a form of escapism. I expect the dominant society to do what the dominant society does. What I don't expect and what I shouldn't expect and what I shouldn't be at peace with is the idea of my own kind. Y'all said, Mary, don't you disrespect Smurf culture. Hey, blue lives matter, man. But what I don't expect and what I'm not comfortable with and what I'm not going to accept is this coming from my own kind. Because you're telling me it's about race. You're the one sitting on YouTube panels all day telling me it's about race. So if it's about race and it's about race first, then that means any beef that you have with another black person that would cause you to extinguish their life should be nullified on the basis of race. But that's not what I see coming from you Negroes. That's not what I see coming from you. So you're full of shit. See? You're full of crap. So these pro-black politics hasn't done anything for black society. It just hasn't. They haven't really done anything for black society. So don't tell me about Amber Geiger. Many of you are Amber Geiger. You got Amber Geiger in your families. You got sisters running around here whose sons are Amber Geiger in the black community. And they love their sons. They hug their sons. When the sons get locked up, they bail them out. When the police come looking for him because he done did some shit he ain't had no business doing, when they lie for him. So don't tell me about Amber Geiger and this mammyism. This is only emblematic and symbolic of what you niggas do every day. So, and I'm supposed to be outraged? Oh, I'm supposed to be outraged because you're telling me to be outraged. See? But if someone has conservative values, they're a coon. You know, there was a situation with Rosa Parks, the great civil rights pioneer, Rosa Parks, and these thugs in her own community broke in her house and stole her stuff, and they put hands on her. And so what happened, at the time, the president of, I think it was the Little Caesar pizza chain, he moved her out of that neighborhood and put her in an apartment in a safe neighborhood, and he paid it till the day she died. But why was that even necessary? But you're not going to call those little thugs, you're not going to call them a coon. You're not going to call them a Sambo. You're not going to call them Amber Geiger. They the warriors of the race, see? See, they that's our warrior class. Fuck out of here. Hell out of here with that. You're the warrior. They're the warriors of the white race. Driving down the worth and the value of black life. And you're not supposed to say anything. You just got to let them operate because you're black and they're black. Meanwhile, they don't defer from preying on you because you're black and they're black. See, they understand and they know that you're just as vulnerable as them. So they know who they can get away with that bullshit and who they can't. But these are the warriors of the race. Fuck out of here. This is an insult. This is an insult. So I'm just as outraged. I'm just as appalled when it's your black ass doing what Amber Geiger did. So I'm not going to give her a pass and you either. See? When it was the situation with that sister who got killed in Chicago. Holding her little daughter. Was there any videos about that from these niggas? Was it any videos from Tariq Nasheed and all these other fake pro-blacks? Was it any videos about that? See, we're supposed to treat that as an isolated incident. See, we're not responsible for everything a knucklehead black person knew. This is Tariq's logic. And I like Tariq. But when you're on some bullshit, you're on bullshit, man. And this is and that logic is bullshit. That's just what it is. But it was no outrage or no videos from none of these Negroes about that. So you're fine with that. You're going to excuse that. Same thing with the Failosphere, with Sapphire G and the rest of the buffoons over there. And really think they have some moral authority when it comes to blackness or something. Like, who the hell y'all think y'all are? I was in prison before. I'm black. I'm blackity black and blackity black and blackity black, y'all. Fuck out of here. I ain't never been to prison, and I'm just as black than you. So you do not own blackness. You are not the spokesperson for blackness. That B1 bullshit they be coming with. See? Brothers who do what they're supposed to do, who abide by the rules of the laws of the land, are just as black and have just as much of a right to speak about issues in a community than your criminal ass. See, this isn't hip hop, so your street cred doesn't translate here. I don't care about that. What are you doing for the community? Well, if you niggas was doing what you were supposed to do from the jump, the community would be fine, wouldn't it? If you hadn't ravaged it with your criminal activity, making it a goddamn war zone. You can't even put black businesses in some of these communities because of the crime. Put you a store in there, store ain't gonna be up 2 weeks before a nigga be done broke in it and robbed it. But you ain't supposed to say nothing. You're supposed to just let them operate and do whatever they doing. I don't believe in that. I do not believe in that, man. And so we know that there's a problem with violence in our communities. This self-hatred. We can't even communicate with each other without disparaging one another. These deluded ass niggas, man. I don't want to hear their mouth, man. You got Negroes right now who acting all outraged and got cousins, brothers, sisters, or maybe even themselves who've done what Amber Geiger did, never served a day in jail. But I'm supposed to be outraged by Amber Geiger. The only time it's inexcusable is when it's a white person doing it. Like, come on, man. Come on. And you know what? See, I've been doing some research too. Because this is what we do over here at the Great Liberators Radio Show. I've been doing some research on Vietnam. And, you know, the condition of the family. OG Bootsy. OG Bootsy says, so you love your enemies. I don't know how that's relevant to the conversation. I think it's asinine to love someone who hates you. I'll put it like that. And that presents a particular problem because I think it's just as asinine to love someone who hates themselves when that person looks like you. See, it's a form of self-hatred for you to extinguish that which looks like you. So when you see like the fact that we place no value on black male life, even black males don't. We don't place value on black male life. But we expect the white society to do it. That's a form of self-hatred. See, and many of these brothers come up in homes where they don't see any value or any worth being placed on black manhood and black masculinity because the mama running around talking about she don't need no goddamn man and she's behaving like she doesn't need one. So what cues is the boy receiving when it comes to his identity? And then we wonder why we have this onset of transgenderism in the black community. Dr. Welsing talked about this, how that the system, the teachers, the educational system will instill every cue into the black boy that it's better to be a female than to be a male. We don't place any value on black male life. Robert Smith paid off all these brothers' college debt. Is highly successful, a multi-billionaire, yet all these Negroes, particularly these females, all they could focus on was who he was giving dick to. Which goes to show you what they think about black men. What they think about black male life. That it could be a sister. I remember I seen this one I started falling out with these women. See, because I'm very patriarchal, I'm very old fashioned. So it was a meme floating around with this girl. She was had a kid when she was 13 and she graduated when she was 18 or what. And they sitting here acting like that's some achievement. Fuck out of here. See, this is purposed. Where you positively reinforce everything that the woman does, no matter how fucked up it is. So she could have 8 kids by 8 different niggas, 3 of them in CPS, and then she go get a CNA degree, and that's black girl magic. The core goal and the central goal of white supremacy, asymmetrical white domination, is to render the black male either invisible and or ineffective. And then you wonder why these boys are gaining an affinity for femininity, for womanhood, for femaleness. That's what we're placing the value on. When the logic coming from these so-called black feminists, Tarana Burke, is we have to protect our black girls. Well, what about the boys? They don't deserve to be protected. The black boys don't deserve to be protected. When you look at Jerry Sandusky, Eddie Long, family structure is the prime indicator when it comes to the sexual abuse of children. Family structure. The safest family structure for children is a two-parent married home. There's less likely chances of abuse, less likely chances of poverty, less likely chances of physical and sexual and emotional and psychological abuse. Those are facts. So what you have is you have a group of women who have children haphazardly outside of the safest family structure, and then want to task strangers, black men they don't know, with mentoring their sons. Jerry Sandusky was able to do what he was doing for all those years because he had a mentorship program. The majority of the children that Jerry Sandusky violated were black boys. Eddie Long was able to operate and do what he was doing because he called himself mentoring these black boys. These boys don't need mentors. They need their fathers. And I'm not talking about part-time fathers. But they're going to act like I'm deluded. But you want me to be outraged when you say be outraged. You want me to care about what you say care about. So you don't care. You don't care about black male life. You don't care about Botham Jean. You don't care, man. And I can look at all your behavior, all of the empirical statistics, and see your black ass don't care. Treating our children as the undue consequences of our sexual aggrandizement. Then turn around and demonize and vilify and antagonize these boys for being put in a situation that they had no control over. Sapphire G. So you don't care, and your behavior and your actions betray the fact that you don't care. Damn what your mouth say. What are you doing? What are you doing? You know what? And while I'm at it, because this past summer, black men on YouTube was I was just coming on YouTube, but black men on YouTube were being accosted by a particular black female YouTuber, I'm not going to say her name, with what are black men doing for respect? That was the question. What are black men doing for respect? As if our humanity isn't evident. As if there is a when you make these type of statements, what you're suggesting is that there is a litmus for humanity for black men. Are you insane? Are you insane? You're saying there's a litmus, as if respect isn't a human right? Isn't something evident that we give to other humans? So you're dehumanizing black men. Let me pull this up. Let me see here. Let me see. That was the question. What are y'all doing for respect? What are black men doing? What have black men done? Okay, I guess. All right, fine, cool. Okay, sure. All right, let's see here. Is that screen? Okay. So is let me see. I didn't want this. I did not want this. Why is it? Well, y'all see what I'm getting at here. Y'all see what I'm getting at. Is this what black women are doing for respect? Hugging the killers of black men. And you know, there's even empirical research out there that shows that black female judges give black male suspects and defendants harsher sentences than other groups. Y'all know that, right? So let's pose the question, because that's what are black men doing for respect? Okay, so is this what black women are doing for respect? That's what y'all doing? Playing in their hair like they're at some goddamn sleepover? What's up, Naima? See? That research is out there. That black female judges give black male defendants and black male suspects a harsher sentence, a harsher time. You know, like the black female judge did to Meek Mill. See? And like I said, there's this romanticizing and fetishization of black male disposability. So we don't really believe in the value of black male life in the black community. And everything reflects that. And this is why I said, from motherhood to mating, women get the men they deserve. When you look at the nature versus nurture. And see, when you bring these things up, sisters want to take offense. Like, I'm not even coming at sisters. I'm just telling you how nature works. And the fact of the matter is that there's no way the woman can divorce herself from the socialization process of her boys. Because not only are you his first nurturer, you're his first environment. So you're representative even in the nature aspect of the debate. You're his first habitation. You're his first food supply. Along with his first nurturer, you're his first everything. So what messages are we conveying to our sons, to our boys, about the value of their life? It just doesn't have to be verbal, but it can be nonverbal. It can be the way we act and respond to their trauma and their hurt. See, so really what we're talking about are symptoms of larger things that's going on. But I'm still not going to give these brothers who engage in the same behavior as Amber Geiger a pass. I'm not going to give them a pass, man. Because I expect that from an Amber Geiger. I expect that from a white supremacist. I'm not supposed to expect that from my own kind. See, and I've been doing these series on the dilemmas of black manhood and womanhood. See? And so, you know, I got some things coming up. Like I said, I'm working on this research for Vietnam because, you know, members of the manosphere, they adopt this neoconservative disposition when it comes to the disintegration of the black family. And my position has always been, it's... No, we're not shifting blame. No, I mean, she's guilty. What I'm saying is, I don't want to hear the fake outrage from individuals whose ire isn't raised just as much when we do this to each other. See, I'm able to multitask. Like it's not a zero sum game. It's not an either or. I can be equally displeased and pissed and incensed at both, and I am. That's my thing. But we can't be incensed when it's coming from this type of situation and then be mum and quiet about it when it's a intra-group thing, an intra-group phenomenon, an intra-group dynamic. Because in the final analysis, it's the same thing. Both of them are going to facilitate white supremacy. And I don't know why we act like we don't understand that. That's what both of them are going to facilitate. See, and that's why I said the greatest cause of the disintegration of the black family is actually black criminality. But we want to project it onto the women and say, oh, it's welfare. But the data is very clear. You've had an influx of black men in the graveyard and in the prison system. That's the only place you see an influx of black men starting in the late 60s, ramping up in the 70s and reaching a crescendo in the 1980s. The only place we see an influx of black men is in the prison system and in the graveyard. The mortality rate of black boys from 14 to 35 doubled in the 1980s, partly because of the crack cocaine epidemic. It doubled. See, so we don't want to acknowledge that. We want to ignore that. And this is precisely why when Clinton did the welfare reform bill, thinking that it was going to reverse the trajectory of the single mother-headed household, it didn't. In the 90s, the single mother household rate was like 63%. Look where it is today. Because it's not welfare causing it. See, matter of fact, let me show y'all something. Let me show y'all what I'm working on. See, because I don't just talk, man, I read. Let me show y'all what I'm working on. And see, they love to quote Moynihan. They love to quote Moynihan. I'm gonna show y'all something. Let me show y'all something right quick, because this is something you hear coming from certain brothers, and they're talking about the dysgenic nature of breeding in the black community, which I do agree is a problem. I just don't think it's welfare causing it. And I've stated that. Let me show y'all something right quick. Let's see. Let me show y'all something. Hold on. Because I go into sources. I go into scholarly sources, articles, journals, and these different things. Make sure y'all like and share this video. Okay, hold on one second. Let me put the screen share on. I'm gonna show y'all this. Can y'all see that? I'm gonna read this to y'all, but can y'all see that? Let me see. Y'all can see that, right? Let me see. Because what I've been talking about Vietnam and how Vietnam had a greater impact on the disintegration of the black family than welfare. than the so-called rise of the welfare state. So what I have on the screen right here is an excerpt from the Journal of Marriage and Family, 1971, examining the effects of the Vietnam War on the American family. So that's the source. Now, I have it cropped so you can't see everything. But look at what it says. You know what? I should have put up another one. But anyway, it says, there has been considerable discussion of the genetic effects of war. If it tends to kill off the fittest young men and leave the less fit to reproduce, then war is dysgenic. In the case of Vietnam, the war is clearly more dysgenic for blacks than whites. Crystal clear. Crystal clear. See, this is why you have to understand what was going on at the time period, during the time period. Because you just didn't have civil rights in the welfare state going on in 1964. You had the Vietnam War going on. And what they were doing, they were disproportionately drafting black men. And then out of the black men they drafted, they were taking the best and leaving the rest. And then that when they would send those black men off into these wars, they would put them on the front line of the hottest battles. Then when many brothers were there, they were getting hooked on heroin. Then due to the unpopular nature of the war, when they came back, they were dealing with the anti-war sentiment in American society that was high at that time. So you have to account for that. But these Negroes don't read. They call themselves scholars, but they don't read anything. They'll read literature from the Heritage Foundation, which has a vested interest in pushing this notion of the rise of the welfare state. And while it may be true that the welfare state expanded in the 1960s, it contracted in the 1970s. While during the 1970s, there was a steady track and uptick of divorce, separation, and desertion, and what we know of as the breakdown of the black family. So what they're saying is incorrect. And this is what I've been telling these niggas. But you can't tell niggas nothing because they don't listen. They hard-headed. So these conservatives push these tropes about welfare because they know that your ire will be raised at your woman and not at the real culprit. This political sleight of hand that they engaged in, that was a part of the Southern strategy. And there's more too. Like, this is just a little excerpt, but I'm working on that. I'm going to be doing a video on that. Namaya said, I'm very loud. Okay. Let me calm down then. But you see what I'm saying? So I like to read. I don't just take Heritage Foundation literature and take it as gospel truth, because I understand that the Heritage Foundation is pushing an agenda. The Heritage Foundation, which is aligned with the Alec Foundation, which both had a hand in forming the prison for profit industry as we know it. The prison for profit industry. The idea of privatized prisons, where you can take these brothers that's in the prison system and use them as unskilled labor and cheap labor that you don't have to pay a lot of money. See, so I'm putting it all together. I'm going to be doing that very soon. Vietnam and the black family, because these Negroes who call themselves scholars and thought leaders, they never talk about that because they don't read. And that's the only conclusion I can draw from that, because if you read, then you would know what I know. Exactly, blessed one. So they know when they push these tropes, it's going to drive a wedge between black men and black women. And when you look at the gender war that's prevalent right now and that's going on social media, that's what it's about. That's what it's about, man. So I'm going to be working on that. I'm going to be doing that very soon. You know, but yeah, I just wanted to come on here and talk about that right quick because I don't like, you know, this hypocrisy. We can't only be outraged at the extinguishing of black life when it's done at the hands of a white person, especially black male life. Nor can we promote the worst types of black men who engage in the extinguishing of black male life as the standard for black manhood and what black men doing and should be doing. What's up, Sister George? See? That's a logical fallacy. We have to shift some things and understand that. So, you know, in my opinion, that these individuals who engage in this type of behavior in their communities aren't they're one and the same as Amber Geiger. They're Amber Geiger in blackface. They're Amber Geiger in blackface. That's what they are. And I'm not going to be outraged when these fake pro-blacks tell me to be outraged. Because they're very quiet, very mum when it's another black person doing it. Very quiet. Yeah, everybody talking about it. Naima says, no, we can't, Amiri, but we need to understand is that we are competing and we should have protection so that we are prepared for anything. I mean, I agree with that. You see, and so that's my thing. I'm going to focus on the things that everybody else want to try and ignore, and I'm not going to let us ignore it. I'm not going to let us, you know, forget it, because it's just as, you know, it's just as important, just as pertinent to black life, to the black experience in America, you know. So that's all I have, y'all. I appreciate y'all for tuning in. Hey, make sure y'all like, share, and subscribe to the video. And y'all know what it is over here. Make Black America Great Again or Die Trying. And matter of fact, hold on. Hold on one second. Let me see. I think I'm gonna start a singing career. Okay. I'm gonna leave y'all with this.
These fake pro-blacks, they are so fake, fake, fake. These Negroes are fake as hell, fake as hell. Oh, fake, oh, fake. Ha, 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 ha.